on this episode of Still Loading, when one game just isn't enough. Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome back to this new episode of Still Loading. For this week's episode, I'm going to actually be talking about two games. That's right, it is a twofer, if you couldn't tell by the title of the episode already. The reason it's a twofer is because the original game for the 40 for 40 series this week was going to... It's Round Ball, 2-on-2 Challenge for the Nintendo Entertainment System. The problem with that is that it's not much to talk about with it, so I decided to tack on a somewhat classic, not like a, you know, one of those games where when people say Nintendo, you think Mario, you think Mega Man, you think, I was about to say Sonic, that's Sega, but you know, you think Metroid, you know, you think Double Dragon, you think of those big, big titles. Here's the other game I'm going to talk about to kind of fill out this episode a little bit more, and so that way I'm not just doing a 3-minute bit on a pretty boring game overall. I'm going to be talking about Russian Attack, also for the Nintendo Entertainment System. I cannot wait to get off of the NES, but at the same time, I'm looking at the lineup for the next couple games for the weeks to come, and I'm pretty freaking excited. It's going to be some good stuff. So without further ado, let's dive in. In typical Still Loading style, we are going to talk about the box art for... We're going to start off with Round Ball, let me say that first, but we're going to talk about the box art for the game of Round Ball. And all it really is it's a top... It's a pretty like photorealistic kind of painting almost of a. It's like a camera from the top from the top of like a basketball net, like on the backboard, and you see a guy coming up to dunk it. His one finger is bandaged, guess he broke it or something, and you have two guys trying to block him, and that's it. There's nothing much more to it. It's kind of a boring box cover, but you know. What can you do? It's overall the game is just there's not much to really say. It is surprisingly primarily a multiplayer game. This is one of the few Nintendo games that you could play for up to four players, which would have required you to buy the expansion piece, but you know the peripheral. I forget exactly what it was called. It wasn't called the NES Advantage, but essentially. There was an add-on that you could plug into, you know, your NES that would let you play with four players. And not a lot of games really supported it, but this is one of the few. So, this game, what I'm always most interested by is that when you have sports games on old hardware, it's interesting to see how they try to portray the sport, because you don't have, you know, the nice 3D graphics that we have now where you kind of, you know, rotate the camera around the game, so around the court I should say, or you know, field, whatever sport you're playing on, whichever sport video game it is. But I find interesting about these games is that a lot of the old especially in the NES era and prior, and a little bit into the 16-bit, you know, with Genesis and Super Nintendo, but they always tried weird camera angles to fake a 3D perspective. A lot of times, they like with basketball specifically, they usually went side court and almost went like a weird platforming kind of view where you can move up and down the court, like the court you are looking at it from, you know, the side of it, and you're running along it, you know, back and forth to each side, the hoop on each side. What Round Ball does, though, is that they put the hoop only... You're only playing on one end of the court, so it's... It feels... I don't know if this is what they were going for, but it feels very much like a pickup game. Because, I mean, it would make sense if that's what they were going for, because it's 2-on-2. And, you know, a lot of times pickup games, you're not having a full, you know, 5-on-5 playing. And it seems like, you know, when you're a kid, you're playing 2-on-2, you have to bring him out past the half court line. I don't play basketball. I apologize for any butchered terminology for those who know basketball. Hockey's my thing. Basketball, not so much. In any case, But that's what it kind of feels like. So you pretty much just, you know, grab the, you steal the ball and have to shoot it. My only real complaint with this is that that's literally the entire game. You just set up different types of tournament modes and you either play with friends or you play with against computers. And that's honestly the entire game. There is nothing more to it. The music was okay. Nothing too memorable. Nothing that I felt like compelled enough to, you know, include in here. But overall, the music was fine. Nothing crazy with it. The animations on the characters are pretty nice. That you actually get a real good feel of, like, you know, the dribbling motion and running and stuff like that. It was pretty ambitious. I don't want to say ambitious, but it was cool. This is one of the few games I actually had to look up controls for, because I was able to figure out pass and shoot relatively quickly, but the computer was beating my ass real bad, and it kept just dunking and, like, throwing layups on me, and I could not, for the life of me, figure out how to do a fucking layup. It was driving me nuts. So I had to read the manual, and literally all it is you just hold forward while you're running to the net and hit the shoot button. And when you're within the proper vicinity, he will do a layup. And that is honestly just the game. I even looked up some videos online, and there wasn't really much going on with it. It's just people playing the game, either competitively against friends or for fun, I guess, or just playing it for review. There wasn't a whole much to it. So, and that's why I wanted to throw what we're about to go into Russian Attack, because I'm only about 6 minutes into this, which I'm amazed I even stretched 6 minutes out of this piece of shit, because it really was not that. It's just boring, and that's the risk I guess you get with a lot of old sports games for just about any old console. They're going to be very primitive. Not all of them are going to be great. Not all of them can be arch rivals, as I have said many times before. So, without further ado, let's go into Russian Attack. Now, Russian Attack, I do not have this complete in the box. Which is why it was not going to originally be part of the 40 for 40 series. I specifically made sure to not choose another game to add on to this that was going to be part of the 40 for 40 series. So let's jump into Russian Attack. Now, the first thing to note about Russian Attack, it's not Russian like the nationality. It's RUSH N. Like you're rushing, Russian attack. I have the cart right in front of me, and it's got a picture of a commando shooting a gun with grenades around his belt. He's got some camo on, like a green beret type of hat on. And the other thing that stands out to me is that this is developed by Konami, you know, one of the premier game developers on the NES. So definitely give it a play just for that alone. It is not horrible. Where it suffers the most is, I guess you could say, repetitiveness. And that's not just in the gameplay, it's also in the music. It's pretty much the same musical theme through every single level, and it changes when you get an invincible power-up to, you know, an invincible kind of song, kind of like how Mario does it, and then a boss music for each level. And I even think, I didn't pay much attention to the music after I noticed it repeating, so I don't know if the boss theme is the same for all the bosses, but I would not be surprised. The level theme does not fully change until the last level, like level 6, and the only reason I even know that, because I watched a long play of it. But I did try it out. Controls are pretty good. My biggest gripe with the controls, though, is that you have to hit up to jump. I fucking hate that. That is one of the most annoying things for that. I don't know how to describe it. It's very annoying. A is jump. It works so well. When you hit up to jump, it creates this weird, like, it doesn't make you feel comfortable while you're playing. It's really strange. I don't know how to describe it. But, you know, for those who have played on the NES, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not comfortable, and it puts you on edge. It's just not very good. And the other big gripe with it is that the gameplay itself, like I said before, gameplay is repetitive, and so is the music. doesn't really change much. What's weird about the gameplay, while the cover, or at least the artwork that is on the cartridge itself, is a man with a gun, you seldomly use a gun in the game. You're literally a Green Beret running through waves and waves of enemy with a tiny little pokey knife and just stabbing guys to death. Wacha-cha! And that is the entire game. You will periodically get power-ups that are temporary because it's just, you know, certain. It's not like Mario where the fire flower is permanent until you get hit. It's you have a limited amount of ammo. As soon as that ammo is up, you can no longer use that power-up. The first one that I noticed was a missile launcher. I did see through the various videos that you can also get grenades, but that's it. And the game steadily ramps up its difficulty as it goes along, and I kind of liked that. It was cool to see the new different types of enemies they would bring in. It wasn't just, all right, let's have the same enemies as before. Or sorry, I should clarify that. The difficulty ramping was not just, okay, let's just add more of the same enemy and make them harder to kill. They actually added different kinds of enemies that made you change up your strategy. So, later on in the game, there's guys, the first level or so is just guys that run straight at you, and that's it. The second level, then it introduces guys that jump at you, and you have to kind of time your attacks a little bit better, and you have to be more worried about your spacing than versus just standing there mashing the attack button to stab your pokey knife at the guys just going wave after wave at you, not moving, just running straight into you and dying. And, you know, as the levels go on, they introduce more and more enemy types. Because, you know, you can traverse up and down to different levels within the stage. And by levels, I literally mean, you know, like, almost, you know, the bottom floor, mid of the screen, top of the screen. Like, there's different platforms that you can run across. And normally you're fine up there, but as the game goes on, they introduce another enemy that will actually chase after you up those, chase after you up those level, up those platforms. So you have to actually kill them. In the first couple levels, a lot of the enemies you can just dodge, but not these guys. I mean, yeah, if they run past you and they go off the screen, they're not going to come back. But up until then, it's not like you can just hop up to the next floor and they're not going to be near you. No, they're coming after you. The other thing that I liked, I guess the last thing to really comment on with it, is I really enjoyed the bosses from what I saw. I got to the first boss, and I beat it relatively easy. It's literally just a waves of enemies, and you can literally just stand there mashing the attack button and your little pokey knife, and it. You don't have to move. You can just mash that and you'll win that boss fight. So, you know, I like being good at games, so I don't mind the easy ones necessarily. So that was the first boss. The second boss, and like I said about how the game introduces new enemies throughout the course of the game, throughout the course of all the different levels, they do kind of a similar thing with bosses. Each boss adds a new mechanic, is a different type of enemy. So the second boss, I believe, is like a rocket pack guy. The third boss, I believe, is... The second boss, or level 2 boss, is the jetpack enemies, like I said. Third level is all dogs, which pretty much you just crouch down and do a little pokey knife action, and that's it. But level 4, you fight helicopters, enemies who drop grenades. Level 5 are paratroopers who have machine guns. That's the other thing that pisses me off. Why the fuck are you a Green Beret who has a gun on the front fucking cover? But as soon as you go into combat, no, you don't use a gun. You just run around, you know, with a knife. And, okay, that's fine if you're going for, like, a stealth angle. But there's guys fucking everywhere. And the first thing that every level has is the alarm going off. So what's the point? Why couldn't they just... I mean, I understand that giving you a gun would have made the game too easy. But at the same time, could they have... Why does he only have a knife? Is there a reason? Was he a prisoner there and he got out... Because that's not broadcasted, it just seems like he's on a mission to destroy something. In any case, that really bothered me. That, like, what kind of special ops, spec ops person who's going in on a mission to destroy an enemy base does not carry a gun? I don't understand it. Whatever. That's neither here nor there. So in any case, the game, you know, you go through all the different levels, you fight the bosses, and what's cool about the final boss is that you have, like I said before, you'll pick up various temporary power-ups from enemies, like the missile launchers, like the grenades that I mentioned. And the final boss fight is pretty much you're fighting another, you know, wave after wave of enemy, but they don't stop coming until you destroy the enemies, like, literally like a rocket. It looks like a nuclear rocket that's just off on the side. It's flashing, so you won't, it doesn't really tell you that's what you need to do, but it's flashing red, and it, inevitably you're going to get a power-up that lets you shoot the missiles. So you're going to notice that when you shoot the missile, it's going to stop at the rocket, meaning, oh, I have to destroy it. So while the game design isn't perfect, it's at least a step in the right direction. And I really liked that it kind of mixed up everything in the last level, but not like a crazy mix up. But they're not just completely taking you out of your comfort zone and taking you out of the immersion of the game. It still feels very much part of that Russian attack experience. But it's a little bit different, so it makes it just interesting enough for you to enjoy the final portions of the game. That really is all there is to say about both of these games. They're very round ball. I can't really recommend. Don't play it. I really, trust me, you'll thank me later. It's not fun. Not worth spending your money on. I mean, I got it because I'm a collector, but I probably, if I would have known, I mean, you know, I got this in a lot, so I can't really complain. I paid like $7 for each of these, so I'm not gonna, like, not at, it was all at once, obviously I spent more than that, but like, break it all down and divide it by how much I paid, it was about $7 a piece, so I'm pretty happy with that. In any case, Round Ball's not very good. Russian Attack, I would definitely give it a try. Once again, that is spelled Rush, R-U-S-H, apostrophe N, and then the word attack. Russian Attack. I guess I, you know, that there's too many jokes you can make about that, but, and I don't really feel clever enough to make any of them in any case. But thank you all for listening to this episode. I hope it was at least somewhat entertaining. Hopefully you guys will try at least Russian Attack out. Go Round Ball can go fuck itself, except for those who, you know, maybe enjoy this game, but I don't know why. I'm just saying. But thank you all for listening once again. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe the show on please remember to rate, review, and to subscribe to the show. Please review it on iTunes. It honestly helps get the name out a little bit more. I'm still pretty small, so any feedback you guys have I'm more than willing to listen to, and because I like I said in the last episode, I really want to make the show as good as it possibly can be, and I'm really interested in any feedback I can get. So thank you all again for listening. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod, and that should be it. So thank you all for like the fifth or sixth time that I've said it, and I will see you all next time.